things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hey, so let's sing him happy birthday together. So,
happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Pastor Dave. Happy birthday to you.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. It's really cool getting so old that, you know, you can have they can play a Dylan song and everybody seems okay with it. But it's been quite a week. For one thing, somebody on Facebook got the idea my birthday was the 8th, so I've been hearing happy birthday from the 8th until now. Dean Waters, just a dear, precious friend of mine who served us here for so many years, praying with people, ministering to people, went to be with the Lord this week. And so, you know, I was there at his house that night and just being able to pray over him and talk to him, even though he was comatose. I don't know what he heard, but I'm glad that his struggle is over for sure, but we'll miss him incredibly. We'll have a memorial service for him here Thursday, July 30th, the last Thursday of the month at 2 o'clock, so you can get that on your schedule. I know that a lot of you will want to do that. But I was tired from that, and then the next night I was up all night seeing my first grandson born. And I didn't actually see him born. I come in after they're cleaned up, and but little Brandon David, which I'll call him David, but he was born on 7/11, and he was 7 pounds, 11 ounces, so that's kind of cool, and he gets Slurpees on his birthday every year for free, so we're excited. He's doing great. Brittany's doing great. Will, I'm not so sure, but he's healthy, and thanks so much for praying for all of that. And so then to top it off by having one of my favorite Dylan songs, and, you know, I've had so many special greetings and thoughts and blessings from people online and from emails and in person, and I really appreciate the, all the kind thoughts, and I can't, unfortunately, get to everyone and answer them, but I just read them and cry, and I think, am I dying and no one's told me yet? But it's really sweet, I really appreciate it. It's just been a blessing. But the best blessing is to come together to look at God's Word. It's the best part of my week always. And so let's look at Acts chapter 15. We are going through the New Testament and pulling out key Bible stories along the way. And we've come to Acts chapter 15, and I've entitled this message, Breaking Up is Hard to Do. Because it's the story where Paul and Barnabas, two pillars of the church, guys that God used so amazingly, and they had this incredible synergy between them, they broke up. They separated. They went their separate ways. And that's, for one thing, it's just so weird. Because they fit together perfectly. Man, together, well, when Paul became a Christian, none of the Christians would trust him. They thought it was a trick because Paul had been persecuting Christians. He was responsible for the execution of Stephen, the first martyr of the church. And so no Christian wanted anything to do with Paul. But this guy Barnabas stepped up and gave him the good word to everyone, went to the apostles and said, I have a good feeling about this guy. And Barnabas was somebody that everybody respected. He was one of the most respected people in the early church. And so for him to take sides with Paul was amazing to get Paul started. And then they went on their first missionary, the first missionary trip of the entire history of the church. They went together. And we saw through the book of Acts the events that happened. Boy, when they went to Lystra, And the people thought they were gods and thought that, you know, that Barnabas was Zeus because he was this big strapping guy, and thought that Paul was Hermes because he was this little talkative guy. They stoned him. They went on from that. They planted churches all across the known world close to them, all through Asia. And here in chapter 15, in the beginning of the chapter, they came back to Jerusalem. And really, after seeing everything that God had done, now there was a huge question, because a lot of Jewish Christians, which originally that was the only kind there were, they were saying, in order to become a Christian, you need to also become a Jew. The guys need to be circumcised. They need to observe all the Jewish laws and traditions and dietary restrictions. And these guys were just out seeing God do amazing things among Gentiles. And so they came to a church council in Jerusalem, presided over by James, the brother of Jesus, who was the leader of the church in Jerusalem. And they presented their case. They told the story of all that God had done through them. And Peter came and vouched for them as well because of his experience in Acts chapter 10 at the house of Cornelius. And amazingly, these devout Jewish Christians came to the conclusion, yeah, we want the Gentiles to be a part of us. We don't want them to have to take on the law. We don't want them to have to become legalists. They can accept Jesus and be a part of the church. And so it was a huge event. And Paul and Barnabas observed this together. They shared together between Paul's brilliance and his devout passion and Barnabas's sense of respect that everyone had for him. It was a miracle. And so now, right after this happens, they broke up. They fell apart. They went their separate ways in ministry. This great team. It was like, you know, they weren't just like Zeus and Hermes. They were like Batman and Robin. They fit together so well. It was like when the Beatles broke up, but now there's no Yoko to blame. And so let's read the story beginning with verse 36. Then, this is Acts chapter 15. Beginning with verse 36. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Let's take a victory lap around that last missions trip. Now Barnabas was determined, and this is a very strong word, he was adamant, to take with them John called Mark. John Mark was his nephew. And he had gone on the first missionary trip, but early on, one of the earliest stops, he started missing his mom or whatever, and there was some reason. He maybe got offended by Paul in some way, but he decided to bail. And Paul just hadn't forgot that, but he was saying, let's give him another chance. Let's take him with us. But Paul insisted, and that's the same root word as determined, describing Barnabas, but it's the other way. Paul was just as adamant that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Paul was like, no, he had his chance. No second chances. He wimped out and he's disqualified from ministry. And then the contention became so sharp that they parted, that they were cut apart from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So they took two different routes to go separate some of these. Now, I look at this and I just think, I can understand why they had problems, because Paul and Barnabas were really different people. And, you know, people who are really different from us are the people that we need the most, but they're the people who are hardest to get along with. Barnabas was, his name meant the son of consolation. He was a guy who was known for just being always there, really considerate. He was very political in terms of he could smooth things out with people. He could always negotiate. He had a huge amount of respect on the part of everyone who knew him. He had been wealthy. He was very generous to the church. He was a big guy. I mean, in every way, Barnabas was, wow, he's a great guy. He's kind of quiet, though, and a peacemaker. On the other hand, Paul, little short guy, really feisty and gruff, rough around the edges, easily offended people. You know, when both of them went there to preach, but Paul would be the one that would always get stoned. You know, what he would say was like, that's what people would get offended by. And Paul was the kind of guy, I mean, he talked about it in Galatians 2, like it was a good thing that when he saw Peter and Barnabas at one point, probably early on in his ministry, and he thought they were being phony because when they were around the Jews, they would eat kosher food. But then when there were no other Jews around, then they were munching down on ham sandwiches and everything. And Paul says, I withstood them to their faces. They got caught up in this hypocrisy. I mean, you got to respect somebody who does that, but you also think, couldn't you just tell them privately? Did you really have to write it in the Bible, you know, that I did this? But that was Paul. He was just a guy that was a warrior. He was a battler. He was brilliant. But he wasn't a good people person, really. So the two of them together, it was a great combination. And they broke. They had this division. And never again is Barnabas even seen doing anything. He left on this trip with John Mark, and we don't know what happened to him after that. But Paul goes off with Silas. Silas was a person more like Paul. So, like, they probably got along because a couple of dudes that were the same. And so they're like, yeah, no problem. But it was two guys that were the same. So they were getting, you know, in trouble all the time and beaten together. And that was, they were like, yeah. But, you know, you look at it and just go, this is sad. It really is. When I look at the story, it's kind of heartbreaking. I can't help but think, wasn't there something they could have done? I mean, you have two guys that work together so well. And just over who to take on the trip, I mean, couldn't Barnabas have said, hey, Mark, why don't you stay here and be really faithful and get a few references, and maybe next time we go on a trip, you can come with us. Couldn't Paul have said, fine, Barnabas, go ahead and bring him, but he's your responsibility. I'm not going to trust him for anything. But if you want him to tag along with you, that's fine. Let's go. But neither one of them would budge. They were both so stubborn. And I think that's kind of sad. But there are several things we see in this story that are important, I think, for us to understand. One of them is breaches happen. They just happen. Whether it is, you know, a business relationship that goes bad, with somebody that you work with, somebody that you minister with, whether it's the church in which you fellowship and are involved or a particular ministry in it that you used to do and you don't anymore, somebody who was your best friend that now you've come apart over some issue, somebody who you always thought would be there, but then, you know, maybe they just moved away or maybe they died or for other reasons. It's like, man, I always thought they'd be here. Sometimes marriages happen this way, or romances where it's like, oh, it was supposed to be forever. And now I find myself in a place where it's not. And we have to deal with the fact that this happens. We cannot just say life stops. There was a breach. It shouldn't have happened. Now here, there's no judgment on it at all. It doesn't say who was right, who was wrong. It doesn't say this shouldn't have happened or this was a tragedy. Luke just says it happened. Paul and Silas went this way. Barnabas and Mark went this way. But if we don't deal with the fact that this happens, then we're going to be constantly living our lives looking back with regrets and feeling like, oh man, because of this, life will never be the same. Nothing good will ever happen to me. It's just going to be, you ruined my life by leaving, by deserting me, by not siding with me. And first thing we need to know is, hey, welcome to the world. This happens. I don't care how much you are counting on someone or depending on them. they may leave. Something may happen where a division or a split happens. And you can always look back and say, well, this should have been prevented, this could have been prevented, but it doesn't matter. Sometimes no matter how hard you try, somebody else isn't trying. But most of the time, you're hurt, so you're not trying that hard either. Division happens. And if it happened to two of the greatest people in the history of the church, two apostles, Paul, who wrote 14 books of the New Testament, Barnabas, who was a pillar of the church, who without Barnabas, Paul would have never become Paul. And they broke up. This happened to them. It can happen to anybody, and we have to face that. Another thing we need to be honest about, okay? I've heard a lot of sermons on this passage. And usually, the sermon goes like this. They had this disagreement, and so they agreed to disagree, and they split up. And look, now you have two missions trips instead of one. Now God did more through the division than he ever could have done with just the two of them together. I don't buy that. And I don't buy that every time there's a division, everybody wins. We can pretend that way, but it's not that way. Let's think about Paul and Barnabas. Paul ended up getting in more and more trouble. Instead of just being beaten or stoned by Jews, he was getting imprisoned by Romans. I can't help but think, man, if he had had Barnabas there to smooth things out, to say, look, sometimes he says things in a certain way, but you know, he could have used it. He could have benefited from Barnabas greatly. And as you see Paul as he's growing older, he's constantly saying like how much he's alone, that he misses people, that he needs stuff. He at one point he tells Timothy that, man, if you see Mark, John Mark, the old quitter, send him to me because he would be useful to me. But he never once says, I'm in prison here, man. I'd sure appreciate a visit from Barnabas. Because there was still, I don't know why, I don't know what happened to Barnabas. Barnabas disappeared off the face of the earth. This guy who was a part of something amazing, I don't know if he ever figured it out, but his best years were when he was linked to Paul. No matter how offensive Paul is, no matter how difficult he was, no matter the fact that nobody could stick with him. We don't even know what happened to Paul's wife, but she's clearly not hanging around. Paul ends up, towards the end of his life, he's whining about, there's nobody here. I'm by myself. And then he goes, nobody's here in 2 Timothy. He goes, nobody's here except Luke. How would you feel if you're Luke? Like you're writing this down for him. Nobody here except Luke, and I hate that. But that's Paul. And a guy like Paul will usually end up being somewhat alone. A guy with that personality, despite his gifts, it happens. And I think we have to be honest that there are some breaches that we never totally get over. There are some breaches that when we look back, we go, wow. Actually, that was a magical time in my life. That was the time in my life when it's not going to be like that anymore. I used to teach a home fellowship with couples, and most of them very well off, and every couple except one in the group had been divorced and remarried. And they had good marriages. I mean, good lives. Loved God. But one night we started talking about divorce, and every single couple in that group, every person said the same thing. They said, I am so thankful for the marriage that God has given me, for the grace that he has shown on me, and I love the relationship we have. But they all said, if I could go back and do it over again, I would have done it a lot differently. I would have worked harder on my marriage. Maybe it wouldn't have worked out. You never know. But you almost always will look back and say, how nice if I didn't have to go through this in order to become this. If there had been another way, another path that didn't involve so much tearing, so much breaking. You know, there's a theory of psychology that says that everyone's identity is formed by who you are connected with. and that from the time a little baby is born, them having close proximity to at least one person and hopefully more helps affect this. It's called attachment theory. It helps them to develop a security and a trust. But they're finding out more and more that adult relationships do the same thing, that when you experience loss of a relationship, when you experience loss of a friendship, loss of a loved one, or whatever, that that tearing away affects your ability to do life in a healthy way. And it does. It just does damage. And you can't deny it. Maybe sometimes you go, no, really, it's better for me. Paul could probably say that. Yeah, it's better for me, man. I don't have to listen to, you know, somebody who's so sensitive. But actually, and it's ironic that John Mark ends up, he takes off with Barnabas. We never hear about Barnabas again. But Mark ends up with Paul a couple times, like in Colossians and Philemon. And he says, Mark's with me. And in 2 Timothy, he says, send Mark to me. So, you know, you could say, well, Mark got discipled by Barnabas, but he still ends up with Saul. How does that make Barnabas feel? But in life, sometimes this just happens. And, you know, the other thing is, you can't go back. You can't turn the clock back. Sometimes separation has to happen, but it still is something that is, that it damages us. I know as a pastor, I get attached to people who call me their pastor and people who are in our church. And it's hard because people leave. Some people move away. Some people get mad at me. Some people, you know, for whatever reason are drawn to someplace else. They want this or they like that. Or, you know, that's the main reason we're giving out donuts and nachos today. Not really. But it hurts. But you know what? Do I wish people would come back to our church who really don't want to be here so that I can feel better? And it's the same way in relationships. If you try to go back and patch a relationship that's broken, quite often you'll find out it's just too much water under the bridge. It's just too late to do that. You can't turn back the hands of the clock. But you can acknowledge that when we don't get along and when we sever relationships, it does real damage to us, lasting damage to us in a lot of ways. But here's the thing. We also have to just learn to move on. We have to learn to move forward. We cannot constantly look back and mourn the loss of something, whether it was our fault or somebody else's fault. We can't look back and think, and it might even be true, to go, wow, my life would be better and I would be happier if that hadn't happened. Yeah, but you can't make that not happen. Life is kind of that way. Sometimes you just have to accept this has happened. Now I want to move on. I know God is with me. I know that God is gracious. So I'm not going to look back and try to untangle something. I don't know if you've ever done this, but sometimes you try to get together with someone that you've had this severe break with, and you end up, you go over and over everything, and all it does is make the pain come back and make it more difficult, and it's not the same. And then even if you say, oh, it's great, we're friends now, not the same way. You cannot undo the past, but you can forgive the past. You can let go of it and just go, this, what happened, happened. What I want to do is make the best of my situation, of my life now as I'm going through it. That's what Paul and Barnabas did that I think was right. Now, I'm sure if there was some therapist there, he could have said, you know, we get you guys in therapy together for like 6 months, and you'll be back on the road, man. Paul and Barnabas, Batman and Robin, you know, Zeus and Hermes, you'll be back at it. Maybe that wouldn't have even been the best thing, because you cannot go back and forget the hurt that you experienced. You cannot go back and change what somebody said, what somebody did, the breach that was there. You can forgive, but you can't make it like it didn't happen. It's one of the reasons why the Bible points out as a real clear grounds for divorce, when someone either, you know, cheats on you or someone deserts you, It's like, yeah, it's not the greatest thing if you then go back and get together and then you're reminding each other of that pain the rest of your life. Sometimes you just have to get over it and move forward and not try to untangle all the past. Now, don't get me wrong. I think we should do everything in our power to prevent these kinds of breaches from happening. You know, I'm overly optimistic. I think that when somebody is, they're still married and they have a commitment to each other, there's probably almost always a way to save that. But, and marriage is a little different than some of these other relationships because you don't stand before God and say, I promise to be your friend forever. But in marriage, you do. When somebody is consistently violating that, when they're not loving you, comforting you, honoring you, and keeping you enough, and forsaking all others, keeping you all unto themselves, yeah, eventually there's damage that's done and it may or may not be able to be recovered. But I think it's so important for us in our lives to value connections enough, value relationships enough that we do everything we can while we are in the middle of a disagreement to see if there's something that we can work out. Because when you lose relationships, it doesn't matter whether it's a friend or a partner or a church or whoever it is, family members. If that's broken and it stays broken, it would be so worth doing whatever you have to do to humble yourself and try to save that. People are people. People don't change all that much usually. So how much can you tolerate? How much can you put up with? Are you willing to do that because that connection is important enough to you? And we are all connected to people that can drive us crazy. You know, and that's a part of life, certainly. You see, anytime you hear somebody saying about someone, oh, he's really a good guy once you get to know him. What they're really saying is, he's a complete jerk, but you'll get used to it. You know, but we don't have to. There are some phony connections that we just do best off just saying, you know what? I think it's time to take a break. I think it's time to make a separation. I don't think that you should just stay connected to everyone no matter what it does to you. You have to figure out, is this healthy? Would my forgiveness, would my grace make a difference or would it not? Would I just be allowing myself to settle back into a place where I can be wounded all over again? And as much as it hurts me every time someone leaves the church, for instance, man, one thing that I know would hurt me more of people who don't like me, who don't like our church, who think we should be more like some other church, just stay and are miserable. You don't want that. Any more than you want somebody to be your best friend, but they can't stand you. Or, you know, that they're jealous of you. They don't trust you. They don't believe anything that you say. No, sometimes it gets to the point where you just have to admit the obvious. This just isn't working. And that's okay, and we have the freedom to do that. But if we value connection and understand how important it is in our lives, then on an ongoing basis, we need to do everything we can to preserve the kind of unity that comes with a even challenging, difficult relationship because it's good for everyone. Because I think if we develop the thing of quitting everything that upsets us, or every time we're offended, it's like, that's it, I'm writing you off my list. Okay, that's it, I'm done with you. Keep living your life that way, you'll end up like Paul sitting there old and going, oh, there's nobody here but the doctor. And that's not the way that God wants us to live our lives. But don't look back. I mean, it's like when you go back to a high school reunion and say it's been, maybe if it's been like 3 years, it's okay. But man, you go back, if once you've been out of school for 10 years or 15 or 20 years, don't go to your reunions. It's like, it's pathetic. Because it's like a really depressing version of what you got out of. You can't go back. You can't go back to your hometown and think it's going to be just the same way. Even something that's really good. You know, this week we had the pastor's conference at Calvary Costa Mesa. And I spent, you know, some of the best years of my life at Calvary Costa Mesa. And I just, you know, since being there this week, I've been having dreams about Chuck and Romaine. And it's hard, you know, because I have a lot of great memories there. But, man, I have some really bad memories over time. And being away from that and remembering the battle that went on as, you know, here the guy that I respected so much is like begging me to come back, and his wife is, and there, you know, here I am trying to put our church together, and I feel like I don't even know if people in our church really want to have a church, and, you know, but you go back and it's just like, wow, what a bunch of memories, what a bucket of rain this is, you know, to think about. You can't look back. You can't go back. All you have to do is talk to people who are like, well, it was weird. I was on Facebook and I saw my first girlfriend who I had my first kiss from. And I don't know how it happened, but we got together and we hooked up. And now my wife and kids, I've deserted them and I'm off with this loser that I was delivered from. And it's like, good things don't come from that. I mean, it just doesn't. And I'm sorry if that's the story of your life. But you can't go backwards. You need to move forward. If there's somebody in your life who meant a lot to you, but they've also damaged you and you've damaged them, go experiment on somebody else. Don't try to keep restoring something that was never what you thought it was in the first place. Sometimes it's best to let it go and get it over with and move forward. And that's what Paul did. That's what Barnabas did. Do I see that as a tragedy? Yes. When I back it up and go, couldn't somebody have got these guys together? Either one of them could have given in and it would have been fine. But I'm not going to be like, yeah, but this is what God wanted because he wanted them separate. No, this is what they did. It's just what happened. We do the same thing all the time. We can't move backwards. We have to keep moving forwards and accepting that wherever we are right now, God is still with us and he has a plan for our lives. You know, maybe when you quit that job that ended up being your perfect job and you're always going to be looking back on it, and now you're thinking, man, if I had stayed with that company, I'd be president right now. Or, oh man, if I had kept all my Apple stock when it was $13 a share, oh man, I would be so... You just can't do that. There are no time machines. You just have to move forward. Now, for a lot of us, there are pains from detachments that have happened to us. And sometimes I think it's time to just let those go. And the way you do that is by forgiving whoever offended you. It doesn't matter if you were right or they were right. You don't have to still try to parse all that out. You really don't have to get in touch with them and tell them you forgive them. You don't have to like try to restore things and have it so that you can be civil together. That probably doesn't matter that much. What's lost is lost. And to forgive them, it's not so that you can restore that relationship. There are all kinds of people I've forgiven, but I would never trust them again. It's not a lack of forgiveness. I want to have grace toward them. But at the same time, I don't want to try to turn the clock back and rebuild something that's been broken, that's been damaged. And I think sometimes it helps us if we just think, I'm going to let go of that. I'm going to forgive myself. I'm going to forgive other people, and I'm not going to live wondering what it would have been like if there was a time machine, if I could get in a DeLorean and go back and do it differently, because I can't. That doesn't work. That was fake. And so to release certain things to the Lord and just say, it is what it is. I'm going to stop judging it. I'm going to stop wondering about it. I'm just going to give it to the Lord. I'm just going to let it be his issue. What I want is not the perfect life that I could have if I was perfect, because I'm not perfect. What I want is to do the best I can do where I am right now. And if that's Barnabas, you know, mentoring John Mark for a while and then fading into obscurity and retiring to some island in the Mediterranean or whatever he did, and thinking, man, the best years of my life were when I was with Paul, that's okay, because you can't undo the past. And I think for a lot of us, we are hanging on to attachments that have been broken, and we just can't let them go. And it's important You don't forgive people because they deserve it. A lot of times they don't, and we never think they do because we always think we're right because we see it from our perspective. But I forgive people who have hurt me in the past because I don't want to give them free rent to live in my head, you know, for them to control what I do, to be second-guessing myself and thinking and more. You mourn a breach for a while, and then you just go, it is what it is. I'm going to move forward and do the best I can, learn everything I learn. But for some of you, you've been dragging the burden of a past breach. And it doesn't even matter whose fault it was. And it doesn't even matter whether it could have been prevented. It almost always could have been prevented, but it wasn't. So will you let it go? Will you give it to the Lord and just say, that's behind me now? It doesn't even matter what if. That's behind me. Here I am. I want to do the best I can right now. Now, there might be some of you who have never even given your life to Jesus. You still have a lot of attachments. You're attached to things that will never make you happy. You're attached to people who are dragging you down. You're attached to memories of what might have been. You have all these things that you're trying to use to stabilize you. Maybe it's your bank balance. Maybe it's that people think good things about you. Whatever it is, none of those things can completely be trusted moving into the future. They can all go away, and most of them will go away. So if it's a life and death matter, who are you going to attach yourself to? Who are you going to trust? And I just want to suggest to you, Jesus Christ says that if you receive him, he will never leave you or forsake you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And if you have never attached yourself to him, I have great news for you. He wants to give you a fresh start. Now, it may be that that fresh start will end up severing a lot of other connections that aren't good for you. Get some bad people out of your life. You won't miss them when you're attached to him. But the amazing thing is, when you come to the point where you're like, all I need is Jesus, and you give your life to him and he forgives your sins and you start life over, you're going to end up finding out that you have all sorts of attachments. You'll get involved in a small group and find out, man, there are real people in this world who really care about me because they have attached themselves to Jesus. Will Christian friends ever burn you? Yeah, of course. But that's a good thing in a way, because then you find out who they really are. And you learn who, you don't ever lose friends, you just find out who your friends are. But if you link yourself to Jesus, he has other beautiful connections that he has in mind for you. Your choice is to completely go the way you're going, even though it's not working, or to have a fresh start and allow the God of the universe to forgive your sins and to start over with you. And that's something we all need to remember constantly. Yesterday is gone. Today, it's a new day. It's a fresh start. And I just thought of this so graphically this week when I have a dear friend who died and went to be with the Lord. And then I have this precious baby who's born the very next day, just starting out. And it's like, wow, I wanted to sing that Kumina Tata song or whatever it is, the circle of life, because it's like, that's the way it goes. It comes and goes. It comes and goes. I want to do the best I can while I can. And I'm not going to spend a bunch of time regretting what anybody did to me or what I did to somebody else. I want to move forward. And you can do that. You can start that relationship with Jesus today. There'll be people down here in the front who would love to pray with you. They would love to just help you to see that your life can start over today. That if you can detach yourself from whatever's keeping you from Jesus, he'll attach himself to you. He'll hold you. And you'll find out the only one that you ever should have fully trusted loves you so much that he died for you. So come down to the front if you need prayer for any reason, but you know, especially if you just want to get your life right with God. Today is the day to break those old attachments and to attach yourself to the only one you can completely count on, and that's Jesus. And if you need to come down and get your life right with Jesus, I promise you there'll be nachos left over after you're finished. Let's pray. Lord. It's so easy to want to go back and look at Paul and Barnabas and dissect their relationship and think, boy, a good therapist could have done wonders with them. But what happens, happens. We move on. And for every one of us, if we just think too much about our past and try to operate on it, go have years of therapy to try to untangle it, it still is what it is. I don't care what we understand about the past, we can't change the past. But while we're whimpering and mourning about the past, we're missing the present. So help us by your grace to move forward in our lives, to not try to fix what's happened already, but to pay attention to the connections that we have and to do the best that we can to strengthen those connections and to value the people in our lives who are really different than we are. But that's what makes us a good team. So Lord, just do that work by your Spirit. Help us. And for people who need to detach themselves from all of their failing dreams, all of their things that they expected and they thought would happen and they never have, and they want to attach themselves to you, the only one who never changes, the only one who will never leave us or forsake us, help them to just know they need to get down here to the front and get right with you. Draw them by your Spirit. And I pray for all of us this week that we will do what we can to strengthen our valuable connections and to let go of the ones that have been broken willingly, without second guessing, but accepting the fact that where we are right now is a really good place because this is where you meet us now and this is where you want to take us from. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.